Thanks for joining us on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show. This episode is sponsored by the Black & Veatch Next Gen Ag Team. Learn more about Black & Veatch at www.bv.com. We're excited to have Simon as the guest for today's episode. Simon, head of business at Meat Tech, grew up around restaurants, has had business experience including food retail, the fast-moving consumer goods category, distilleries, and 3D printing. Combined with an academic background in risk, behavioral economics, and behavior change, he's excited to be playing a part in the Cultivated Meat mission. Let's jump right into the conversation. Thank you for joining us on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show. We're excited to have Simon Fried as the guest for today's episode. Simon, I'd like to welcome you to the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show.
Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
Simon, you have quite an impressive background when it comes to food and startups. And there's a couple things I must admit, I was digging through your LinkedIn profile, and there's a couple of things I want to ask you about as well. But maybe as an introduction to the audience, tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Hello, audience. My background is really one of initially being very straight-laced and working in management consulting, which I recommend is a fantastic place for folks to start out because you get a whole wide range of exposures to different industries and sectors and roles. And I ended up doing quite a lot of work for retailers and looking at how fast-moving consumer goods companies sell things in stores and product life cycles for branded goods and general kind of retailer sales and marketing work. So I had a fair bit of insight into how the world of food works. And yeah, since leaving the world of consulting, I've mostly been in startups. And I'd imagine that, you know, the one that's probably the most related to the world of cultured meat, other than Meat Tech, of course, is having been involved in founding a single malt distillery here in Tel Aviv, which, whilst maybe not full on cell culturing, at least does involve a fair bit of fermentation and is certainly a pleasure to enjoy as well.
Great. And that's really what I wanted to ask you about. How did everything come together for that distillery, for you to start that? And is it still running?
Obviously not a chore to get into that kind of a sector. I had actually been working as a consultant for a few global alcohol brands, and particularly in malt whiskey. And it occurred to me, along with a few colleagues, one evening, it's one of those classic sort of stories of friends in a bar who had what was probably a bad idea at the time. But you know, we figured that actually, given how successful whiskey is becoming globally as a product and how it's now allowed to make whiskey, even if you're not Irish or Scottish, or perhaps even Japanese or American, there are a few other countries that have managed to do really, really exciting things with whiskey. And it's all to do with how different conditions and different climates lead to different rates of maturity and aging. And so actually, there's quite a scene now of world whiskeys. So the milk and honey distillery has actually really been going from strength to strength. I'm both happy and proud to say it's now available, I think, in 27 different countries. And anybody who's in Tel Aviv must come pay a visit because it's like a little slice of Scotland on the Mediterranean.
Wow, that is cool. And I'll keep an eye out to see if I can maybe find it here in the States. I want to ask about Meat Tech 3D, but I want to preface that I actually hear about Meat Tech 3D a lot on a subreddit channel. And the reason that is because a lot of times on this channel, which is really just open to the general public, people that might have heard of cultured meat for the first time, they always ask, how do I invest in cultured meat companies? And then Meat Tech comes up because of the listing, and we'll get into that in a bit. But for the audience that's listening in that may not have heard of Meat Tech 3D, can you give us a quick introduction to what Meat Tech 3D is and how it's really different from kind of other players in the space?
Sure. So Meat Tech is now about a year and a half, just over a year and a half from really emerging from being an unheard of company to trying to, you know, get in front of the folks in the cultured meat space and in the wider community. Meat Tech was back in January of 2020 in the process of going public or listing on the stock exchange in Tel Aviv. So the company's Israel-based and it's a B2B business model. So the company's working on developing, you know, cell-based manufacturing technologies, both at the moment for beef products and also for chicken products. And the way the company's gotten to where it is today is through that initial going public on the exchange here in Tel Aviv. And then just in March of this last year, so now in 2021, also uplisting or dual listing, depending on which term you prefer, to the NASDAQ stock exchange as well. So then you end up being what's called dual listed. So that makes, to the best of our knowledge so far at least, makes Meatech the only listed cultured meat company. So I guess those folks on the Reddit would notice it or hear of it for that reason. Also, because of being public, we were able to use that as a tool in an M&A process where we acquired a company in Belgium called Piece of Meat. And they're now essentially the division working on as part of this Meatech group now. And their focus is very much on everything to do with avian cells. And the work and the team in Israel are very much focused on beef cells, with the exception of the one thing that we certainly think is another differentiator in the efforts that we're putting into 3D printing. So we have a dedicated team of guys who are all veterans of the 3D printing industry, who have long experience of really getting under the hood of printers, not as operators of printers, but designers of printers, down to the ink delivery systems and the print heads and the software and so on. So we've now really got to focus on beef, on chicken, and on how to use those cells, the efforts going into building printers that are going to be industry scale throughput technologies. So it's an international company, although relatively small by international company standards. They're probably about between 40 or 50 headcount, depending on if one counts all of the people who are part-time, etc. And the bulk of the work is done in Israel, but there's a very focused push on scaling up the production of cultured chicken fat in Belgium.
Cool. And there's a pretty cool video on the website where it really highlights the technology a bit. And if you haven't checked out that video, please check it out, if not only for the music, because it really woke me up and it's really cool music. And Simon, you're in that video, but I wanted to ask, like, how did some of the core team members originally come together?
The founding members of the company, so the two co-founders, one is the CEO called Sharon Thema. He has a background in 3D printing, having worked in a range of printing companies. I actually worked together with him in a previous startup focusing on 3D printing electronics. It's a company called NanoDimensions that's now also a NASDAQ company. The other folks in the company, many of them are people that have worked in NanoDimension in the past, certainly the team on the printing, and actually on the biology side. If one looks at, there are many people there who've come from really a range of backgrounds. It's still a very emerging technology, and one really has to look hard to find the right people with the right backgrounds and the right skill sets we have here in Israel. One of our scientific advisors is a professor by the name of Tal Dvir, who's very well known for his 3D bioprinting achievements, one being the 3D printing of a functional heart, about 2.5 years ago. I think that was mostly in the press. And so actually quite a lot of the staff are also on the biological side, the folks who've come from his department and his research team at the University of Tel Aviv.
We definitely see a lot of strong biotechnology research and ultimately talent come from the different universities in Israel. Is there any reason for why Israel is a powerhouse for biotechnology?
So Israel has quite a long history of having concerted effort in biotechnology. I think it's part of the wider startup and innovation scene that Israel is well known for. And there are certain clusters. And certainly where we are at Meatech, we're based in the Science Park, which is just next to the Weizmann Institute, which is a famous academic institution, research institution. And it turns out that's really generated a cluster of biotech-related companies around that academic institution. There are several other cultured meat companies as well. You know, companies like Aleph and Supermeat and Future Meat are actually all within a few miles of one another. And this is very much because this is where those people with skill sets are congregating. So I think it's a combination of world-class universities with quite a, you know, an entrepreneurial and startup-focused mindset, but also an ecosystem that really encourages it. So I think in many ways it's quite similar to the Bay Area in the States, where it's an established community of people that know how to support a startup ecosystem. And I think that's something that's oftentimes difficult to replicate and certainly takes time to build. Biotech, it's well established in Israel, and now it's showing itself in cultured meat with so many actors from Israel in such a small area.
Cool. And yeah, you do see just driving down the highway, oh, those are the Google offices or those are the Facebook offices. It would be cool to be like, oh, those are the Meatech 3D offices and there's Aleph Farms. That does seem pretty cool.
Well, you would make for a good walking tour because I think you could probably cover all the major cell-based meat companies in a sort of 45-minute walk.
Oh, man. And hopefully in the future, there'll be little tasting stands as well.
Sounds fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. What is it, the carnival where the carnivorous is not so guilt-ridden?
I'd like to dig a little bit deeper between the technology of 3D printed meat or cultured meat. There's the term used, cellular ink. Can you give us a high level overview of the process, specifically as it comes to the equipment that MeatTech 3D is developing?
So for those of you that are focused or know the cultivated meat space quite well, you'll be familiar with this exponential type of agriculture that can allow one to produce what's not so appetizingly called biomass, in a way you produce the cells that you need for production. And once one has those cells, and typically those are going to be fat and muscle cells, as a producer of food, you have to ask yourself, what's the best thing for me to turn this biomass, to turn these meat ingredients, essentially? What's the best thing to turn those products into? And different types of tools will allow people to make different types of cultivated meat products. So some things will be as simple as trying to make a sort of mincemeat or ground meat equivalent, where there's a certain texture and appearance and mouthfeel associated with that kind of product. Or on the other hand, you might have nuggets or burgers or a hybrid product that contains some plant-based material. But an additional component, and we believe it's really important, is to replicate as fully as possible what it's like to have a cut of meat, like a steak or a piece of chicken breast. These are the traditionally most expensive parts of the meal. This is center of the plate, as they call it in the industry. This is where you have that anchor product. It's where much of the margin can be as well. And it's where you focus your celebrations at holidays and so on and so forth. And so in order to replicate that, there are certainly different ways of tackling that. And certainly at MeatTech, we believe that using a 3D printer has really the best prospects to allowing for a process that replicates that full structural integrity of the cut of meat. And so you can imagine that one then needs to take either those fat cells or the muscle cells and turn them into inks that are readily printable. And this means sporting the cells through tubes and through printheads and ejecting them through a nozzle, typically. And there are different types of technologies. There are 3D printers out there today that are typically used in academic situations or in hospital or perhaps drug testing type environments. But the history of bioprinting has been one of printing not very large volumes, but perhaps very complicated structures. And printing meat, we fully believe, is a somewhat simpler prospect than trying to print an organ for transplant. So yes, this is bioprinting, but it's not quite the same thing as it's been associated with until quite recently. So our mission is to develop systems that are able to position those cells precisely. And then you've got your X and Y. So where on the print bed do you want the drop of ink to land? And that means you're positioning your fat or your muscle cell in a particular location. But there's a challenge, which is when one's printing, certainly with liquid or gelatinous type materials, then there's a risk of those inks moving around and the structure not necessarily staying in place. So one needs to use additional materials, edible materials, of course, to create a scaffold or a matrix for those cells to be held in place by. Because you can imagine when you're constantly adding material from above, you're adding those bio inks from above with the cells. If they're not then able to be held in place by something, then you'll get a mess, essentially, where everything mixes together. So when we're working on these systems, it's about positioning the cells very accurately in X and Y, and it's about printing that supporting structure, about actually having a scaffold ink, essentially, that is added and built alongside the deposition of those cells to allow for a piece of meat to be made. And our vision certainly is that this allows one to have a super flexible manufacturing system. You can imagine a factory that's able to produce either higher fat content or lower fat content. Cuts of meat is able, ideally, to be used then to print different types of meat, whether that would be chicken or beef, with the most minimal setup that one's able to achieve. And this gives tremendous flexibility in terms of what's the market going to need next week, next month. One can change over the manufacturing in order to meet demand with as little inventory and as short of a supply chain as possible. And 3D printing lends itself particularly well to allowing for flexibility with minimum setup costs.
It's easy to imagine, as the general public knows about like desktop 3D printing for kind of small plastic pieces, it's easy to imagine that you could do that with bioprinting with the scaffold and then filling that scaffold. In my head, that's clear. One thing I'd like to ask you about is, what does it look like when you do scale that, right? Is it many small printers, or is it one large printer? What does that look like? And then as a follow-up to that, I'd also like to ask you, do you imagine a central facility where all the meat is produced there and then shipped out, or more of these little printing hubs close to either larger cities or where the meat is sold? Any insight on that?
Yeah. So certainly in the regular 3D industry, which is a sector that I know very well, exactly that question of, you know, do I get a bigger printer? Do I get a faster printer? Or should I have a rack of maybe simpler and cheaper ones? And both are legitimate ways of scaling your ability to produce volume. In our case, it's very much a question of a simpler and cheaper option doesn't exist. So there aren't really any systems designed specifically for bioprinting meats. There are certainly bioprinters out there, but they're designed to do many things. So it's a bit more of a Swiss Army knife type of bioprinter in a sense. And whilst it has many blades, none of them is the best one for that particular job. It's perhaps good enough for certain things. So we're very much focused on large, high-throughput systems. Our real focus is on looking at the printhead that's doing the depositing, because what dictates the speed of the printing, you know, obviously amongst other variables, is the amount of material that one's able to eject or deposit in a given time. And so we're working primarily with contactless printing, not with extrusion-based printing. We're really looking for the types of printing technologies that we believe are the most scalable and will be the easiest to maintain. And we'd expect those systems to be, you know, large production systems, much more than, you know, anything that's small or, you know, home or even restaurant suitable. So when it comes to how large, I think it's very much an open question, and I think will depend on different customers' needs. Today, the meat industry, particularly in the States, is really quite centralized. There aren't that many meat processing facilities. They're often very large, and they're really supplying large swathes of the country from quite far away. We believe that the opportunity here is to benefit from the ability to produce more closely to the point of consumption. So everything that can be reasonably done to bring production facilities, whether that's the printers or the bioreactors as well, to bring those, you know, as close as one can to the point of consumption, we think that shortening that supply chain should be able to, you know, reduce as much as possible the CO2 going into the products. We hope that it's the thing that can also fight perhaps food waste by being able to be that bit more responsive and really benefit from the aspirations to have a better shelf life as well, perhaps, than the meat that we see today. It's all aspiration because we're not on the store shelves yet. But we fully expect that there will be more, you know, more production facilities in time than what we see in today's very centralized model. Exactly how that unfolds, it will be exciting to see.
The futurist inside of me is imagining either a restaurant during prep time or maybe even a butcher shop. Like before the doors open, they have a printer running, creating the estimated meat for the day.
Yeah, I think that's very much the vision. I mean, the systems we're working on are certainly larger than what would be relevant for an individual store or restaurant. So I think what we're certainly, you know, targeting is throughputs that would be of relevance at, you know, sort of city level, certainly, and perhaps, you know, larger still.
This next question might be a little bit of a simplistic question, but the curiosity in me does want to ask, and maybe there is no answer yet, but as the product is being printed, it's going to be raw, right? It would be raw kind of cells. So it would have to be in a particular environment. Or is there some sort of cooking mechanism during the printing process? Any kind of thoughts or anything on that?
Yeah. So the cells are printed, and the goal is that the cells are as happy as possible throughout the printing process. So we need the cells to be as unaffected as possible by things like shear forces as they go through the printing nozzle, so they don't get squashed or too hot or too cold or asphyxiated, etc. So many of the issues that apply when one's growing the cells in the bioreactor are essentially carried over as environmental requirements also during the printing process. So the printing is absolutely done with living cells, and those cells, once they've been printed into a structure, will still require what's called incubation, or we could call it sort of resting or maturing post-print. So the cells may well be placed and positioned in where they need to be within a steak, but as soon as the printing is done, it still needs to be given time during which to incubate and for those muscle fibers in particular to further develop. It's not over just when the printing is done. And at the end of the incubation or maturation process, it's still a raw product, essentially. The idea is that the cooking is something that one would choose to do either at home or in the restaurant where it's delivered to. Or, of course, if one is then using those products in a processed product, imagine something like a pepperoni slice of chicken or something one might have on a pre-cooked pizza. One could, of course, cook it in a factory environment as well.
And as of right now, MeatTech 3D is primarily focused on just creating the equipment and supporting the cultured meat industry, opposed to creating and selling a product, for example, in grocery stores. Is that right?
Yeah, so we have a cracking team of biologists and deep expertise in printer development, and our focus is exactly on that. We're not looking to build out, at the present at least, we're not looking to build out a retail brand or to fight for space on the shelves. We're really focused on making the technology as available as possible to the food processors of today, and also perhaps the future meat makers of tomorrow. We certainly see that this whole industry is obviously garnering a lot of attention, and it's oftentimes in places where they want to have access to meat but don't currently have those production capabilities domestically. Maybe they don't have large grazing areas or they don't have land that can be used to raise animals. We fully expect to see this industry, and as a result, we'd expect it to affect MeatTech as well, where new entrants come into this industry, perhaps for different reasons than how people got into the meat business traditionally.
As we wrap up, I want to ask you about future announcements from MeatTech. We see claims of companies that they'll have some sort of product available, whether it's the actual cultured meat product or supporting products for the industry over the next 1 or 2 years. Are there any kind of announcements from MeatTech about particular dates? And I just want to say I quickly scoured the internet and there was something about a pilot plant coming in 2022. Can you shed any light on that or maybe any other dates or ranges for any type of launches or announcements?
Well, sure. So we're a public company. We have to be very careful about what we do say and predict. So I can only mention that which has been publicly released or publicly announced. And I think those kinds of things would certainly be captured by the pilot plant announcement that we're planning to have up and running a pilot facility for the production of cultured chicken, and that'll be in Belgium. So that's very much leveraging the technologies developed by Piece of Meat before and obviously since them becoming part of MeatTech, and they're now growing those fat cells and suspensions. So they've seen some interesting progress recently. And that's certainly the production goal towards the end of next year. We are also looking to demonstrate printing of a 100-gram piece of steak during 2021 at some point, at least before the end of the year. So that's another sort of milestone that's out there as something that we're working towards. And in the interim, of course, we look forward to being able to, share our progress on a day-to-day basis, whether that would be taste tests of things that have already been announced, and beginning to look at food technology activities as well, which we announced in Belgium, in order to start paving the way for development of hybrid food products, etc., so that we're in a position to assist our perspective.
Great. You can get in touch with Simon on LinkedIn and learn more about MeatTech at www.meattech3d, and that's just with one T. Simon, do you have any last insights for our audience today?
I have no specific insights, but on behalf of MeatTech, but also for the industry, obviously very excited to have an audience that is impassioned and engaged with this topic. It's a mission I think that's really important for many of us, and good luck to all in the industry.
Simon, thanks for being with us today on the Cultured Meat and Future Food Show.
Thank you.
This is your host, Alex, and we look forward to seeing you on our next episode.
This program was produced by H Media. We'll see you soon.